Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Broadcasting from the WEEI studios, powered by Verizon, 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston, and Odyssey Sports Station. This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
It's getting dark. You're getting in your car. You know what that means? Just because it's a holiday week. Is everybody getting in their car right now, or did everybody take the week off? That's the other question.
I think it's the week off.
Or are you already traveling right now to Thanksgiving? I don't even know. When's it going to get busy? When am I going to get effed with the traffic?
Tomorrow.
People travel to... No, Tuesday's the new Wednesday.
Tuesday's the new Wednesday.
So two days before Thanksgiving is the day, huh?
Yeah. Right. Here we are slaving away. We'll be back tomorrow working 2 to 6. Mm-hmm. We don't take a holiday here in radio.
It's a thankless job here at EEI.
It's like digging ditches doing radio here at WEEI.
That's what they say.
It is 5:05:01, Stiz. Time for The Drive.
This is The Drive.
Swings and drives one. High and deep. In the left field. Gone!
The top stories, stats, and quotes from around the sports world for your ride home. WEEI Afternoons.
So the story of the day, the Red Sox traded for veteran right-hander Sonny Gray. They sent Richard Fitz and Brandon Clark, a prospect who some people had as a top five prospect, number five overall. Others said he had fallen down, hadn't had a great year, and wasn't as highly rated, but send those guys for Sonny Gray. The Cardinals are also sending $20 million to Boston to pay part of a big chunk of Sonny Gray's salary. Before we get into our analysis, Bradfoe, our guy Rob Bradford, host of Baseball Isn't Boring, was on with Jones and Keefe with some instant analysis of this deal.
And so what do you make of the trade?
Is this the guy that Craig Breslow was talking about, the GM meetings, to walk side by side, hand in hand, with Garrett Crochet at the top of the rotation? And he's not. I mean, that's not where Sonny Gray is at this point in his career. But I think ultimately what you have to look at this trade like, hey, good for them. I don't think they gave up guys who are really going to hurt you down the road. And even if you do, so what? So what? Don't you want to win now? And this helps you win now.
So as of yesterday, Brandon Clark was not in Baseball America's top 10 prospects for the Red Sox. So whatever you think of him, it's more about Sonny Gray. Ted Johnson, Fitzy, and I went back and forth on this. He's a little bit down on the move. I'm a little bit higher on the move. How do you like the move, and where does it fit into the offseason?
I'll tell you right now, I'm okay with it. So right now, I'm okay with it. Ask me, and you rightfully pointing this out, ask me right before the start of training camp what I think of this deal, because that's we referenced back to this time last year. I don't know if it was exactly this time, but around this time, Aroldis Chapman was signed.
Yep.
And a lot of people thought that was a bad move. Turns out that was a genius move at the time, And so I kind of feel the same way about Sonny Gray, Fitzy. I'm just right now. But tell me how the rest of the team looks at the start of camp. My guess is they think the Red Sox think that you bring him in, we can turn his career around, kind of like Aroldis Chapman, and he'll be fine. Nothing to worry about. But right now, I'm okay with it, Fitzy. What say you?
I see why you lean back on the comp of Aroldis Chapman, but one of my primary, if not the primary concern I have for Sonny Gray is exactly what Aroldis Chapman was able to do, and that's pitch under a microscope, pitch in the biggest stage, pitch in a huge market, pitch under the spotlight. He succeeded for the Cubs in helping them end their 105-year drought by getting by pitching in the World Series against the Indians at the time, their Guardians, whatever, who cares. He pitched for the Yankees as well. He was used to the biggest stage. Sonny Gray has not been good in the American League with the New York Yankees and or when he's pitched against the Red Sox, and especially when he's pitched at Yankee Stadium. 36, obviously, you know, high strikeout to walk rate, dependable, 180 innings, great. If you want to make him a back end of the rotation, veteran presence, terrific. If he's a 2 or a 3 and you're leaning on him for that much to pair up with Crochet on the revamped Red Sox 2026, I think it's a big ask, and that's why I don't love it.
So time will tell where exactly Sonny Gray fits in the rotation. Yes, Dan Ball?
Numbers for you, fellas. At the new Yankee Stadium, Yankee Stadium 3, yeah. Highest ERA for a pitcher at Yankee Stadium, minimum of 100 innings pitched. Congratulations to at 6.06,
ooh.
Sonny Gray.
Just don't pitch him in New York.
Right.
Can we do that? Can
don't
we work
pitch
around
him in New York?
That?
Also,
yeah.
I
no
said
problem.
It.
Oh, there you
go. Perfect. Nailed
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no problem.
I said
nailed
earlier,
it.
In my dream scenario, he's your fourth starter, so he might not pitch in the wild card series if you're playing in the wild card series, right?
Excellent point.
Right?
Yeah.
I'll get my 32 regular season starts out of him, and then maybe he's a bit player, long reliever,
this
whatever.
This is Heim Bloom's revenge. He's sending a sleeper cell from St. Louis to get back at us.
That does make me a little nervous, really. I mean, I know you know Heim Bloom, but do you trust Heim Bloom?
No,
that's the
I don't
question.
Like him.
Why would
I don't
he
want to
do
him?
Any favors for the Red Sox? They made him move to Newton, and then they cut his legs out from under
I don't think he's doing
a
favor. I mean, think they're in a different point.
They are
in
paying
their development.
$20 million of a salary.
But he's just getting rid of the veteran guy, the money, the whole thing. Like they're much earlier in their development. They're the Sox from back when Heim Bloom was here, practically. They're building prospects. They're getting, you know, they're in a different time in their development. Let's go to the phone lines. As I said, Steve's been hanging on for a while to talk about this Sonny Gray trade. Steve in Springfield. What's up, Steve?
Hi, guys. Just from listening to you these past few minutes here, it sounds like that I'm in agreement with you. What I was going to say is that if they're counting on him to be like a number four starter, I think it's a decent move. But if they're counting on him to be their number two guy, it's not a good move at all. When I try and evaluate starting pitchers, the biggest thing I look at is ERA, because I think that's tells you their pitcher, especially a starting pitcher's effectiveness. And his ERA last year was 4.28, and I don't think that's great. So, but for a back end guy, 4 or 5, you know, if he eats some innings and everything, that's okay. But
thanks for the call,
well
Steve.
Well put, Steve.
Because he will eat some innings. I don't want to jinx him, but I mean, he's a guy that's going to give you 180 innings. He started 32 games 2 of the last 3 years. The down year was 28 starts, so he's going to give you 30 starts, right? 5-man rotation, basically. That's, you know, every every fifth day he goes out there, gets you to 150 or 160 games. He's one of those 30 chunk guys. I don't like. What are people expecting? Like, if he goes out there and gives you a mid threes to high threes ERA, Fitzy, over the course of 30 starts, and gives you 180 innings, and gives
15-9,
like. I think that's a home run. I think that's a win.
Yeah. That's great.
Right?
As long as he's not the number two starter.
Yeah, if he's the number two starter, I'll be bitching come April.
Can we just real quick, the number two starter for the Red Sox last year, let's just look at the most important start of any number two starter would be in the playoffs, right?
Correct.
So how did Brian Bello do in his start against the Yankees in their second game in the playoffs? How do you do, Fitzy? Do you remember?
That's called the phrase is spitting the bit.
Is it pooping in the pants?
Yes, that is also eligible.
Two and a third. Four hits, 2 earned runs, and he was yanked.
Yeah.
So we need. So if he's in that role next year, we got problems.
So that's why I keep comparing. Like, is Sonny Gray Lucas Giolito? Is he just replacing Giolito, who at times was great? Remember that?
Except September.
Except September.
Our 2 and 3 starters in September, not so good.
spit the bit or did whatever else you
poop
said.
In the pants.
100%. Can he stay healthy? Can he replace that? Can he just be a part of the season-long success of the pitching staff? And then when you get to the postseason, you know, hopefully we're leaning on Crochet and Ryan. Or Scooble right. and Crochet, or whatever else you did. Whatever, let's get greedy.
Let's get crazy.
So, I mean, the only thing that worries me about this, though, I will say, is I'm Fitzy kind of pushing back on you, saying he's your number four starter. Mm-hmm. Didn't the GM just say they weren't pursuing fours and fives, they were pursuing twos? So, does he consider this a two?
He said that they're set from number three to number 10, with the implication that you also have a number one. So, yeah, I'm not sure.
That worries me.
The one thing I'm holding on to is that, okay, so what are you going to, what are the Twins asking for Joe Ryan? What is somebody asking for a bat? Is this the first of an immediate, I'm sending Peyton Tolley and Connelly Early out the door for something that's an impact pitcher?
Trust the process.
Okay,
I'm trying. I'm trying
all
my
right,
best.
We're trying, but that does concern me because his words said he was setting up to go get a two, and the first thing he does after those words a couple weeks later is bring in Sonny Gray. Does that mean in his mind this is a two? I hope not. Getting to the Patriots, we talked to our buddy Mark Schlereth, as we do each and every Tuesday at 2:30, and there was something that I think bothered a lot of Patriots fans. It bothered certainly Fitzy and I. The goal-to-go issues against the Bengals, six tries in the third quarter from the one-yard line. You couldn't get in the end zone. Mm. I think Bill Parcells would hate it. Old-school football coaches would hate it. And I don't think Mark Schlereth loved it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not ideal, obviously. And it is one of those things where, you know, sometimes you give your guys an opportunity and say, hey, man, we're gonna lean on you guys. You guys got to go out and win these battles. And, you know, and as a player, I always wanted that. I wanted that opportunity. I wanted to prove that that you know we could run the ball when you have to run the ball. And it's one of the things I always say about the red zone and everything else is running the ball is not, you know, popping a 14-yard run on third down and seven. Mm-hmm. You know, like, hey, we ran a draw, and next thing you know, you compile 145 yards rushing, but you really had two breakout runs. The rest of the time, you were garbage. Running the ball is when everybody and their brother's uncle knows you're going to run it. Everybody in the stadium, the defense knows it, you know it, everybody in the stadium knows it, and you still can churn out a first down. You still can churn out 4 yards. You still can pop one over the goal line. That's when you know you're good. So, you know, it's one of those failures you go back and you look at and say, what can we do better? But it is disappointing, no question about it.
I love that answer.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it. The only thing I would add on is you got to run the ball when everybody knows, and your brother's uncle and your uncle's sister and your brother's best friends, and keep going. And he's absolutely right. It's this team is 53% on second and one and third and one opportunities. So 53%, that's the worst in the NFL. Think about that. To get 1 yard.
Right.
They are, believe it or not, in those instances, minus 4 yards in those instances.
It's not.
And they have like 30, 35 combined second and one, third and one opportunities.
Good sampling.
-4 yards.
So, Fitzy, you know what this made me think of is the various times we've argued about the tush push. One of the arguments from Philly is like, it's not really fair. All they need to get is 9 yards on the first three downs, because if they get to a 1 yard play, they're just going to run the tush push and it's automatic. The Patriots are the opposite end of automatic. They need to get the 10 yards because if they only get the nine, they actually can't get that last yard. And I don't. Do you agree with that sort of masculine mentality, Fitzy? Does this say something about this football team that they have all these opportunities to get a yard?
They couldn't do it, so it proves what kind of team they are.
Nah, first they ran the single worst version of the tush push I've ever seen.
It's so
in my
true.
Life.
He just it did was, a nosedive.
It's not the, so, it wasn't it was the tush so push. Bad. It was just the tush.
Yes,
without the push,
it was a lot of tush.
Yeah, I think somebody texted me yesterday, they called it the Mayplower, and it was terrible.
It was awful.
I like that.
And Drake was offended. He was ashamed of the effort.
Oh no, he was. He should have been as ashamed of that as he should have been his airmailed passes in the first quarter in that pick.
He's sitting there going, "Why is anybody touching my booty right now?"
Right. Somebody push me. Hey guys, it's called a tush. Push.
Sorry,
but it is. But I hate to say it, but it is football, and while that doesn't necessarily speak to what kind of team you are or get into the machismo toxic culture of football or sports in general, no, you just need to be on your game. Like, Ted will be the first one to tell you. If you're off your blocks, if you have bad technique and poor form, you're not going to be able to execute something as simple as a good old wham block or just finding a way to get that extra yard. Like, it's a game of inches, for God's sakes. How many other cliches can I dip into Uncle Fitzy's bag of cliches to regurgitate here? You have to be able to get a freaking yard. Vrabel said as much, and if you have six friggin' tries and you can't do it, y'all better need to go back to the drawing board.
How many inches are in a yard? So it's a game of 36 inches. It's a game of 36 inches.
Yeah.
Can we get 36 inches?
No is the answer. I'm just using the results that we've had.
Real quick, do you guys want to hear what happened on that 4th-and-1 play on the goal line, the one that ultimately turned over on downs?
Yes.
No, that's okay. It's okay. Don't worry about it. So what happened on that play, the 4th-and-1 play, was they were in shotgun. Okay, you had offset back to the right. You had a blitz from the cornerback, the safety on the left.
Mm-hmm.
So there was 7 guys in the box, only 6 blockers or 5 blockers. So you had 5 offensive linemen and then 7 guys in the box. So you're outnumbered.
Yep.
But they were blitzing off the edge, so you should be able to hit something up the middle. Well, they. Not only did they blitz, they crashed the end to that that was on the blitzing side. So Will Campbell got driven back into the backfield. Sorry, Will. The blitzer was basically almost there when the ball was handed off. And then Morgan Moses on the right side forgot to block his guy off the edge. So you had 3 guys that were in the backfield right in your hand the ball off when Ramondre Stevenson got the ball. And so you talk about a guy here, a guy there. Well, it was 2 guys really doing bad jobs at their blocks, and then 1 guy free off the edge, and it just looked terrible. They had no shot at that play.
Yeah, it's like when they say a quarterback threw into a team meeting for an interception. They ran into a team meeting in the backfield.
That's it.
Let's work in some phone calls, 617-779-7937. Let's go to Chris in New Hampshire. What's up, Chris?
Hey, I just got a couple quick things about the Patriots. First of all, I can't believe no one's talking about if we win the next 2 games, we lock up the division with 3 games to play. And I feel, and then somewhat I feel Vrabel's getting a little too cute with the final 2 minutes of a half. Thanks, guys, for taking my call.
Thanks for the call, Chris.
Couldn't agree more. I mean, it's he's just going to sit there and he's going to say, really, guys? Do you see how many points we score in the 2-minute drill?
Okay.
But he
criticizes his players, right? Like, you could play a good game and have 15 tackles. Yeah. If you miss 3, he's going to tell you what you did wrong on those.
You like
right?
that, huh?
Why don't you criticize him? I don't want to be the one criticizing.
Okay, so can I also add another name? No, can I add another name?
Like, yeah, by all means.
Isn't Stretch involved in this? If we're going to say Stretch is a genius when everything is great and works and looks cool and is cute and... Isn't he part of the headset?
No, he's the main. And just so people know, so the Patriots are 2nd in the NFL in scoring points in the 2-minute drive right before half, so why are we criticizing him? It just feels like they're on borrowed time with that.
Yes.
That feels a little risky to me.
You have the one play where they got lucky that there was a nice home clock operator that gave you 1 Golly. Second left.
It was in Buffalo, though. Right. The home clock guy was maybe from Boston.
Something was weird there. Then you had the didn't try to score early in downs and then got away with one of the best throws and catches maybe you've seen all year.
Yeah, the
from
kneel
Drake
down
May.
That wasn't a kneel down.
Right. Yeah, like all of these things are, you know, execution at a critical point in the game. And I think Mike Vrabel's been awesome. But again, treat the coach like you would a player. The coach is going to criticize a player if he has bad plays, even if those were mixed into a bunch of good plays.
Yeah.
Mike Vrabel's done a million great things, but the too cute, the time management, the issues at the end, like those are something. Get better at those so we don't have to do a full show on it in January when you lose a game because
and
of it.
And the other point, Chris, sorry, no one's talking about wrapping up the division because we got our sets our goal set higher than that.
I kind of gave up on the division. Like, I thought you were going to win the division like 3 weeks ago. Yeah. Now I want the number 1 seed.
That's it.
Tell me when you clinch the number 1 seed.
There you go.
10-2!
10-2, baby. Let's squeeze in another quick phone call. Kevin in Quincy has a question for Ted. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Good
man.
Ted, you were talking about buys and mini buys. In 2001, you guys only had 1 week between the AFC Championship and the Super Bowl, if I'm not mistaken, because of 9/11.
That's right.
Did that help you or did that hurt you?
I think that
Thanks
helped.
Thanks for the call, Kevin.
I think that helped us. Boy, I think in that situation it helped us.
Why?
Because we'd already played the team. So if whoever the Patriots play in the Super Bowl, if there's only 1 week, hopefully you've already played them. Mm-hmm. So that helps that you've already played a team in the regular season. So when you play them in the Super Bowl, you're better prepared. But there is something to say about being in a rhythm, just, you know, not having to take time off. You just kind of get in this flow. And I think having a couple days off, it was a mini bye, I think maybe threw off their energy a little bit, and they weren't as sharp in this last game.
Didn't it almost hurt you guys, though, because of Brady's ankle?
Didn't hurt him on that last drive, buddy.
Sure, it did. That's right. Take that, John Madden.
There you go, Bubba.
It just allowed everybody to have a little fun with some Bledsoe versus Brady for one last time in New England. Finally, here in the drive, we talk to Brian Hoyer, as we do each and every Tuesday. And there's a lot of talk about who needs to step up with the offensive line, injuries, no Will Campbell. Well, Brian Hoyer had an interesting answer regarding the offensive coordinator, Josh McDaniels.
This is where you're thankful you have an experienced offensive coordinator who can be creative with the game plan moving forward. Because let's just say, for instance, you know, the Patriots did what a lot of people wanted. Let's go get a young, hot name that's from the West Coast system. And that could have been great. But now you're into the point in the season where guys are getting injured, and Josh has done this so many times before and has the experience of figuring out how to navigate around injuries or maybe where you could be a little shorthanded. And so having a coordinator with that experience and realizing I'm not just going to go call plays next Monday night against this defense with some of our guys down, I have to be very mindful of how I put the game plan together and how I call the game on Monday night. And so that's where you got to be thankful that you have an experienced guy who's been through the fire in a lot of different situations. And Ted, as you would know,
as I would know, Brian, of course.
You know who should know but maybe doesn't know? It was Scheim listening to that answer, I hope?
I don't know.
Can you check with him on Sunday and see if he's listening? Because I believe Schlereth and Hoyer both talked about the importance of Josh McDaniels.
I feel like it's too easy to just beat up on Scheim with that. It's just kind of, at this point, it's just not even, it's just gratuitous.
All right, that's going to do it for the drive on this Tuesday. Up next, Ted, I think, is going to have a little fun because we have lawsuits, we have family infighting, we have losses.
I find no joy out of this at all.
We'll see. Up next, we check in with what's going on with Bill Belichick, his girlfriend, his daughter-in-law, and all that is the soap opera that is his life, and reports of a potential return to the NFL. Oh, do you say? That's next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, we have Dan Ball for the final time with what's trending.
The Christian Arcan Show, weeknights starting at 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now on WEEI, brought to you by Northeastern Savings Bank. The Red Sox acquired starting pitcher Sonny Gray from the St. Louis Cardinals earlier today. Boston sent right-handed pitcher Richard Fitz and left-handed pitching prospect Brandon Clark to St. Louis in return. The Cardinals are including $20 million of cash to help offset Gray's salary, and because of that, only $21 million of Gray's guarantee will count against the Red Sox luxury tax total. The 36-year-old Gray waived his no-trade clause to leave the Cardinals. The three-time All-Star went 14-8 with a 4.28 ERA last season while not missing a start for St. Louis. The 25-year-old Fitz has made 15 appearances in the majors. He's 2-5 with a 3.97 ERA. The 22-year-old Clark, meanwhile, was Boston's fifth-round pick in 2024. He split this past season between the Red Sox low-A and high-A affiliates, working on a combined 4.03 ERA in 38 innings of work. Patriots players are off today. New England hosts the New York Giants at Gillette Stadium on Monday night. From around the NFL, Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson did not participate in the Ravens walkthrough Monday because of a toe injury. It's his third different injury over the last 3 weeks. And the MRI on Buccaneers quarterback Baker Mayfield revealed a low-grade AC joint sprain in his left shoulder with no additional damage. The Celtics wrap up their three-game homestand tomorrow night when they host the Detroit Pistons. Tip-off is at 5 p.m. Boston is 9-8 on the season, while Detroit is 15-2. The Pistons lead the Eastern Conference by 2.5 games. And the Bruins finish up their four-game road trip tomorrow night in New York against the Islanders. Puck drop is at 7 p.m. Boston is 13-11 on the season, while New York is 13-8-2. Northeastern Savings Bank is the leading alternative to using a big bank for businesses and families in Massachusetts. Upgrade to a local partner. Upgrade to Northeastern Savings Bank. Member FDIC and DIF. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons coming up right after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You can watch the show anytime via our live stream on Twitch.
Just go to twitch.tv/BostonWEEI.
And check out WEEI on YouTube for our video on-demand content updated daily. Now, more of WEEI Afternoons.
With Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Call them whatever you want. Big games, rivalries, super competitive environments. I mean, like, that's what it is. I mean, you like to play in those. You want to compete in them. Whether you're a coach or a player. So once the game starts, though, you got to play the game. I mean, that's what it is. You can't control all the rest of it. And, you know, fans are going to cheer when we're here, and they're going to boo us when we're away. I mean, like, that's the way it is everywhere. And we've dealt with that before. I'm not really, I think the biggest thing for us to focus on is just our overall execution, communication offensively. It'll be loud when we have the ball or when we're trying to kick it, our communication, our execution.
Bill Belichick.
Oh, I like the song.
You like this?
North Carolina, did you say Big Duke in that lyric?
Yeah. So that was Bill Belichick on a clip posted today, right, Stiz?
Today. Yeah, like 30 minutes ago.
Today. Interesting. Interesting. So we remember that famous quote from his introductory press conference about what? Can you remind me what Bill Belichick's first words supposedly were?
As I grew up, you know, you hear the same story over and over and over and over again. And so one story I always heard was Billy's first words were, beat Duke.
Oh! Well, I got bad news for Billy.
What happened?
Because 70-odd years later, he did not beat Duke. They lost 32-25 over the weekend. Stiz, North Carolina's 4-7.
Kept it competitive, though.
They we're going to get to that. It was competitive, all right.
They won two games in a row.
And this was so a angry. Winnable football game.
Remember that first drive of that first game, though?
Oh, so sweet, wasn't it? Oh,
man.
Jordan's looking on.
Wow. Stiz, this was a winnable football game if it were not for the communication and execution of North Carolina, which I believe they're taking some weird victory lap after a loss about on social media. So setting up the situation, North Carolina was up 25-24. Duke was driving. Duke faced a fourth down, and I don't have the exact yardage in front of me. They were at, like, say, the 20-yard line-ish, 30-20, somewhere in there. They're going to kick a field goal, right? They're going to kick a field goal to take a two-point lead.
Yeah, you think.
Only they didn't, Bill Belichick. They ran a fake field goal. They ran the ball down to inside the 5-yard line. Then they scored a touchdown to win the game 32-25. Obviously, the inclination there from Duke is if they kick the field goal, they give North Carolina the ball back with 2+ minutes to play, the chance to then come down and kick their own game-winning field goal.
Beat Duke.
You didn't. In fact, you had poor communication and execution. When a fake field goal happens, What's that black eye for a football team?
Well,
it's
obviously they were not prepared, first off.
Who prepares a football team?
That would be the head coach.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's all about.
That's absolutely not true.
No, it's true, Bill. You would be the first to say it. So you got to coach better. Did he do we got to coach better after that game?
I hope he did, because
that's usually one of his favorites to throw in.
And they
in
should.
There.
He did shake hands with Duke's head coach.
He
after
wasn't
the game.
Mad at him for running a fake against him.
Well, he was mad at the world, but he did shake his hand, okay. Which is a little step up for him. But they are not going to get bowl eligible. They are not going to go to a bowl like they did last year when Mac Brown was fired for making a bowl game.
How many games did they win last year?
I believe they were 6-6, and then I think they might have won the bowl game.
So they're okay. So
they've
regressed. They could still, well, if they win their. They'll
be 5-7. Oh, no, they're 5-7 at best.
Right, right.
And they did the bowl season on a much lower budget. They weren't putting a $10 million coach out there, a $1 million GM, a $20 million roster. They weren't going to Saudi Arabia to ask for Saudi investment funds for the. There was a lower budget operation that was. Winning more. Huh, that's interesting how that works.
Yeah, but he had his all the recruits. He had plenty of time. Like, we came in this year and didn't really have time to recruit.
Oh, yeah.
We had to, you know, we didn't have our people established, right?
Duke.
You didn't.
I mean, I'm thinking of all these things Bill's going to say to him when he's trying to justify them keeping him around.
And yet, Fitzy, with them losing to Duke and Bill Belichick guaranteeing that he'll have a losing record in his first year in college football, What was his record in his final year of pro football? Was it a winning record? Did he go out on top like John Elway?
It was 4 wins.
Oh.
And 13 defeats.
Oh, interesting. So he had 4 wins with the Patriots. He has 4 wins with UNC. He's a 4-win football coach.
He's a man of symmetry, obviously.
I like it. And yet today we have a report from Josina Anderson on Twitter that says, new, I'm told, quote, at least 2 NFL teams are still to have interest in talking to Bill Belichick.
I want names.
Behind the scenes, at the very least, about head coach jobs this carousel season, per a league source.
Yeah.
Quote, a third team could also enter the mix with desires to talk.
Name them.
Particularly, Ted, if one specific personnel change is made under ownership, the source said.
Wow.
There's a side note here. There's more to the story of why Belichick did not end up head coaching another NFL team a couple seasons ago. With his own desires and preferences regarding workplace dynamics playing more into a part of it than I think has been discussed, publicly known, or given real credence. At any rate, Belichick still has deep respect from a number of owners across the league.
Name them.
And that is what matters. So I just, and we're going to get
signed Jordan Hudson.
Seriously.
Feels like a little bit.
Source.
P.S. I'm suing you, Pablo.
From Chapel Hill.
I think it, and we're going to get into some of that, what Fitzy referenced tomorrow, some of the soap opera stuff surrounding Bill Belichick. We decided today, it's a Tuesday, it's a football day, TED Talk, Hoyer, Schlereth. Yeah. We stick to football. So we're sticking to the football aspect of this. He's not a good coach. He lost to Duke, and he looked like a poorly coached football team with the game on the line.
Duke.
And now these stories that he might be wanted back in the NFL. But let's run the numbers. So she says 2 NFL teams are expected to have interest. Well, there's only 2 jobs available right now, right? Tennessee and the Giants. So a third team would have some interest if a key personnel decision was made in the.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's firing your head coach.
Yeah.
There's, well, there's not 3 jobs open right now.
Typical Bill. Someone's got to go for me to come in there, right?
And then this other aspect before, again, we're going to get an interesting update on this from Dan Ball. The other aspect of this is, oh, wait, so now we're supposed to believe he kind of blew up the opportunities a couple years ago with the Falcons. I thought first he was embarrassed. No. First, Robert blew up his spot. First, Robert cost him
the
jobs.
He called the owner and said, you don't want to hire Bill. Right?
Then we had the report from Tom Palacero that Bill was embarrassed that he didn't get a job.
That was all of last week.
Right. So
that report came out.
Convenient that last week he was embarrassed.
Yeah.
This week we have a report that actually, you didn't know this. This hasn't even been out there. He was the reason he didn't get a job.
Bill Belichick has done it again.
He wasn't comfortable with the workplace dynamics, so he blew up those. Oh, yeah. That's interesting. So why were you embarrassed? Oh, and this comes out the week after.
This is Josina, care of Bill Belichick, throwing a turd in a punch bowl. That's trying to get us all confused and throwing off the scent, Fitzy. I mean, this report from Josina Anderson, are we supposed to take her serious?
Well, update Dan Ball.
The quote tweet, less than an hour after this original report came out, said, oh, and please sleep on this report.
Oh.
She's also very active in her own comments, responding to people who would dare say that her report may
name
be.
Name them, Josina. I want to see you name them.
Yeah.
I'm calling BS on it, too.
Some responses include, what if I told you he is a, quote, top two, end quote, choice right now for one NFL team as of today? Again, naming zero teams. That's not quite how that went. And as far as I understand, Bill Belichick is not pressed to clean it up either. Okay, so yeah, so she's responding to people. Oh. She's, quote, tweeting it and basically challenging you. Like, yeah, discredit it. Tell me that I'm crazy. Yeah. Tell me that I'm wrong and see what happens.
She's saying it with her chest. Like it or not, she's saying it with her chest.
Well, but also, she gave herself an escape strategy. If you say he's a top two candidate, yeah. you just say, oh, they went with the other guy.
Yeah.
Like, you're not saying he's the top candidate.
The classic, we're going to go a different direction.
Right.
I mean, you basically got an out for yourself when you don't name teams.
Absolutely.
So, why didn't she just say it's the Giants and?
And I'm going to say Jordan's involved.
Well, no, the Giants have already put out a statement.
Well, yeah, the Giants.
They had to respond to Bill's response.
Right. It's so ridiculous.
It's responding to all these reports.
So the Titans, who didn't want Mike Vrabel, Amy Strunk Adams, didn't want Mike Vrabel. She soured, wants to bring in Bill.
Oh, I love it.
Does that make sense?
Vrabel took Bill's job, and now Bill's going to take his old job.
And he got a franchise quarterback, and then Bill
can
ruin.
The one guy that's
got
to go is Cam Ward.
Maybe. But also, this feels like there's Jordan in this because the
she's in everything, bro.
Speed with which Josina Anderson basically said, it's almost like Jordan was watching Twitter to see if it got reaction.
I love that.
Is this on
theory.
The ticker yet?
Oh,
it's not on the ticker
theory.
Yet.
Yes.
Hey, Josina, you got to go back and challenge people to take it more seriously.
You know what?
They're not taking it
seriously.
I feel
bad
enough.
For Josina. This is where she's at in her career. She's basically having Jordan Hudson pull the strings for her.
Yeah, it feels like that.
You
yeah.
don't know that.
Well, where is she? Where's Josina Anderson since ESPN? Do you even know?
She's out here at North Carolina breaking news.
Breaking stories. All right, Fitz.
Breaking or making?
Good point.
Breaking up or making up?
Stiz, that's, you know, touche, Stiz.
Will you choose to take the reports that he was embarrassed? So, like, how do you decide which ones say are true?
Was it Tom Pelissero?
Tom Pelissero.
In
who
one
I
is
trust
Josina
more.
Answers.
I trust more.
So.
I pick my sources. Credibility. Things like that matter. Yes, Dan Ball.
I mean, she works at where we all go in the morning.
One speaking with her chest and the other one isn't.
To get our news, which is, of course, the exhibitnewsnetwork.com.
Oh, I love that.
I get that. In my
rapper exhibit
the Athletic, Boston Globe, and exhibitnewsnetwork.com.
ENN.
Good point, Dan.
I have never heard of that before in my life.
I don't think anybody has. So that's the translation for saying she's unemployed.
Is she like self-publishing this now? Like that's that. I wrote a book. I self-published it, but I wrote a book. It's you can buy it. Actually, please buy it. I need a few friends and family to buy it to get my money back.
Jeez.
Oh boy. So as I said. That is the latest on Bill Belichick, the coach at North Carolina.
Tremendous.
Maybe a future NFL coach, if you believe Josina Anderson. Tomorrow, we will get to problems in his love life between his girlfriend and his daughter-in-law. And also, his girlfriend is threatening to sue people, even though they seem to have pretty strong receipts, some of which they're actually sharing on the internet, on Twitter right now. Oh. So I look forward to this lawsuit, Jordan Hudson. I look forward to
and
discovery.
The hits just
yes,
keep on
Ball.
Coming.
And Jordan is currently out here retweeting people saying that Pablo Torre is lying. So she's in the fight. It's going to be a lot more interesting in 24 hours.
Let's go,
she
baby.
Needs to learn the panda emoji. She should just start using the panda emoji.
She needs a thanks for listening that she can go
she
to.
She needs a something. Good Lord, I can't believe I'm giving advice to Jordan Hudson. But we'll talk about that tomorrow. Coming up next on Odds and Ends, we've dealt with spitting. How would Ted Johnson deal with hitting in a very, very sensitive region of the body? That's up next here on WEEI.
Billy's first words were, beat Duke.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
the scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
That is Trayvon Merritt, who gets that shot to the face from Juwan Jennings before these two teams leave the field.
Yeah, obviously there's something that happened during the ball game or throughout the course of the game.
That's Juwan Jennings kind of doubled over, may have gotten a punch down low, we're told, took exception to it, and then at the end he and Merritt got into it.
It hit you in the balls, literally in the nuts. Football Talk, also known
balls
as
Balls and Nuts.
Ball Talk on WEEI is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
FCC, Balls and Nuts.
Okay.
Sorry, you want to finish that read?
Yes, it's time now for Odds and Ends, there which could be the ends of everything if Ted keeps going. He's balls got a weird energy today. Is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Reminds you, time is running out to donate your car for 2025. Call 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS now to secure your 2025 tax deduction and vacation voucher. That's Cars with a K. So that audio you heard was from last night's Monday Night Football game. Juwan Jennings, wide receiver for the San Francisco 49ers, getting punched in a very sensitive region there.
Balls and nuts.
Yep, balls and nuts by Panthers safety Morig. I forget his first name. Trayvon, I believe. Doesn't do anything. Is mad. After the game, post-game handshakes, players milling about the field, Juwan Jennings goes after Morig. Kind of hits him in the face. Still has his helmet on. Doesn't really do anything, and is then restrained by, I think, a Panther and then a couple 49ers. Nothing really goes after that. And then Kyle Shanahan, head coach of the Niners, actually praised his receiver for keeping his composure during the game, not doing something to hurt the team. 49ers win 20-9, I believe. Also a victory for Andy in the pick six parlay, much needed, second of the week. But Ted Johnson, thoughts on, first of all, a player being punched in the balls so blatantly as we saw on that footage. Ever happened to you, anything like that?
No, never.
Okay, and then secondary to that, the way Jennings kept his composure
like
and handles it post-game?
Oh, I kind of love it. I kind of love it, man.
But
I
does the league?
Probably not. They're going to have an issue with it. And that's shame on them. I thought, you know what, that's the perfect way to handle it. Because here's the thing. In that league, in that profession, you basically got to fight for your, you know, manhood every day.
Yeah.
Every day it gets challenged in practice by the coaches every day. And then someone challenges you on national TV and you're not going to do anything about it. No, you got to make sure the guy that did that knows that you're not a punk, that you can just do that to me. And so any opponent of Jennings would think they could do the same thing and get away with it. So I love what he did. I hope he doesn't get punished. But this is football is an entertainment. No. These guys are fighting for their lives, just for their manhood, for their respect every single day they go out there. And so on the biggest stage, someone challenges that, and you can't allow him to have a response. No way.
Fitzy, how do you think the league handles this? And are they going to lump this together with Ja'Marr Chase and start to wonder, do we have are we building to a boiling point here with player discipline? Are we going to start having more fights? How does this play out?
Trayvon Morig gets a bigger fine than Juwan Jennings, who obviously tried to enact a little frontier justice there. Both of them end up not missing a game because there's still nothing more insulting or egregious to a man's manhood than spitting on them. So Yeah, I think they get something small, but I don't think they miss a game.
I would be totally okay with what Fitzy just said. A fine, but not suspension.
Yeah, I just wonder, I feel like they could use like some sort of slippery slope argument. We're going down a certain road here, and if I allow a guy to do something post-game, next week it's going to be a 10-player
brawl.
But
not a suspension and losing your game check.
Okay, okay.
Or hurting the team the next week.
Anybody here ever been punched? Christian Arkand, ever been punched in the balls? I bet you have.
No, but I got hit
George,
with line drive.
Probably.
Line drive, right. Yeah, and George kicked me once.
I was going to say.
George is always the answer.
George, man.
Doubled over on the playground. People came over like, are you okay? I was like, nope, I'm not. I'll be okay. And, you know, maybe, maybe a little bit. But, yeah,
George gets after his pop now.
He's a menace, man. He really is. That game was so boring last night, by the way. Three interceptions and 3 points in the first half. I couldn't get through it. I didn't see this at the end. I read about it the next day. There's no way I was watching that whole game.
Yeah, it was awful. What do you got tonight on the Christian Arkand show?
A lot of Sonny Gray talk. We're going to have John Lyons at 7:30 joining me to talk Patriots. The question I have tonight is basically, number one, now's a chance for Mike Vrabel. You know, you got some guys down on the offensive line. You're going to have to adjust the plan differently than you would with no Ramondre Stevenson or no Kayshon Boutte. You have some reserves there, some backups there. This is different. And also, not for nothing, but two out of Drake May's last three games have been kind of subpar.
Subpar.
Hey, 4 interceptions in the last 4 games.
Yeah, not great. It's just something I'm looking at, I've noticed.
Yes,
and something I would like him to clean up a little bit.
4 INTs in the last, 1 interception in the last 4 games.
2 of the last 3 games, his passer rating's been under 90.
God forbid.
Well, I'm just saying, we've come to expect certain
human
things. We've come to expect a certain standard from him.
I
and
like
it's not quite as good right now
Christian's
in the last 4 games.
Tonight, that's all. Man. He's on his game. This great points from him tonight.
He sucks and they should cut him. That's what I'm going to say, Andy. Come on, what do you think? I'm just pointing out what's on the stat sheet.
Okay, stick around for the hate against Drake May. 4 hours of Drake May hate on the Christian Arkand show.
Maybe and some Sonny Gray.
Sonny Gray hate in there as well. Stick around. You know you'll get it with some pizzazz and some energy from my mentor in the radio business. We'll be back tomorrow. It's Wednesday. Everybody else is taking days off. Nope, we'll be here. We'll be here 2 to 6. Fitzy, Hart, Ted Johnson. We might turn the page a little bit towards Monday Night Football, but more importantly, we might turn the page toward maybe the best slate of Thanksgiving games ever. Thursday and Friday, there's some great football to be played. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Talk to Adam Schefter at 3:45 as always. 2 to 6. Talk to you then.
I am just coming out of the shadows. I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it plainly.
10-2.
Don't keep poking this bear.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.